from Isaiah chapter 11. If you would turn, please. This passage has, I've been drawn to this passage in particular the last few weeks. Taught some from it on Wednesday night. It describes, this passage describes that by His Spirit, God intends to come upon us as humans. When we are touched by God, as we just have been in worship, and maybe you felt a sense of peace, or maybe there was power, or there was victory, or there was some other manifestation of God that you felt, that is never by accident. God doesn't spill His love or His grace or His power, but it's intentional. God is intentional, wanting to come up. We have His attention today, church. We have His attention. Now, because it's God, anybody else that wants it gets it too. Everybody's got it. They got God's attention. But He is intentional, and His presence is here today, and it will not be only today, but out into the future. I'm going to describe some of the experiences that God wants us to experience and to have. And He wants it to come upon us not just as a transient coming and going. Now, we come and go to services. We come and go through the days of a week or a year. We come and go through circumstances. But God doesn't come and go. We're humans. We are transient. Sometimes we have up days and other days down. But God is forever the same. And in that sameness, His promises are the same, such as those that, where He says, I'm going to be with you. And so the Spirit has come to stay. Hallelujah. None of us are going to have to worry about, is God going to leave me? He is not going to leave you. There will be days when we won't feel Him. And Brother T.F. Tenney used to say, there'll be days when we can't track Him, and that's when we trust Him. Because He's always faithful and His word is always true. And in this portion of Scripture, He prophesies about the giftings or the powers and the abilities that are going to be at your disposal and at my disposal. We have them right at our fingertips even today because of that abiding Spirit. So from Isaiah 11 and beginning verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And this is important for us, this last section of verse 3, all of it's important, but we're living in a day where we got to be careful that we do not judge after the sight of the eyes, just on the surface, what we see on the surface, nor reprove after the hearing of his ears. Not everything we hear is legitimate. And so we can't pass a life or a spiritual judgment just on everything that we're seeing in this temporal world or hearing in this physical world. But with righteousness, thank God. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor. He will reprove with equity. In other words, stand in behalf of the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips. He's talking about the power of his word. He would slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins. He's going to be wrapped, in other words. It's all around him. You could say it this way. God is bubble wrapped in righteousness. Everywhere you look. And also faithfulness. Faithful and righteous is the Lord God Almighty. And I want to preach this truth today. I'm preaching about you. Here it is. His Spirit rests upon you. His Spirit. I'm going to ask if you would just to receive that statement right there. His Spirit does rest upon you. To begin right now, let's thank Him for His Spirit and that it rests upon us. Lord, we are thankful for Your Spirit. Every encounter we have ever had, and we really can't remember all of them just at this moment, but we thank You, O Lord, and not only at encounters and experiences we can remember, but You have been there every second, every moment, every day, every situation, good and bad. I want to thank You that Your presence rests. It resides, it abides, it does not leave. I thank You for that promise of Your word. And I pray You would help us to accept that and live that out now. In Jesus' name, mighty name, amen. And you may be seated. This prophecy of verse 1 about a rod that's coming out of the stem of Jesse and a branch out of his roots is a prophecy and what is called in Scripture a dual prophecy. In other words, it has more than one meaning or intention. Dual prophecies, and there are several of them throughout the Scripture, and that's an interesting study in itself. Because not only does it point to something immediate or in the future only, but it points to both happenings, both situations, sometimes to more than one person, and that's the case here. First of all, it references the crowning and the reign of Hezekiah, one of Judah's best kings who ever sat upon the throne of the people of God. Just to give you a little idea of what a crowning reign he held, he overcame an apostate family background. And you've probably heard his name, and you've probably read about him, and maybe heard lessons or preaching about him. And even with all of that, and if you've never heard, it's an interesting read to read the life of Hezekiah. Now, he was human. He had his faults and failures. But he overcame an apostate family background. I just want to stop right here and say, you and I, with the Spirit resting upon us, can overcome any kind of a background. There's a lie in society telling us that our past will always dominate us. It will influence us, and we're not negating the fact it did have an impact. But your background can be risen above by the power of the residing Spirit of God. He had that experience. He ascended to the throne at the age of 25. And it started a great period of religious revival. That makes me pause to say, I thank God for our young people and the revival that they have and that fire we were singing about a while ago, that fire that they have in their soul. One of the prophets during his reign was this one that we're reading from, Isaiah. We know that Hezekiah believed in prayer. He prayed about the danger that he was facing. The king of Assyria sent an army around about him. He laid a letter out before the Lord. He just had faith. He had simple faith. He drafted up a letter, took it to the temple, laid it out before God, and basically said, here it is, God. Here's my prayer. You don't have to pray a fancy prayer for the Spirit that abides upon us to reside and to give victory. He laid it out. And God read that letter, heard that prayer, and listen to this. One angel slew 185,000 trained and armed Assyrian soldiers. God is greater than whatever and how many ever and whoever is coming against His people. Coming against you or I. Family may be, society may be, neighborhood may be, work associates may be, but one letter, one prayer laid before the Lord, and God said, I'm going to respond. Why? Because His Spirit rests upon you. He prayed about his personal need for healing. The Bible says he turned his face to the wall and prayed. It may take, I don't know what all of that meant, really. I don't know right now. But he turned his face to the wall. It speaks to me if he just wanted to get along with God. He didn't want anything in between him and God. So he may have pretended that the wall was God. And he was petitioning. And he turned his face to the wall. And he prayed that this fatal illness would be taken care of and healed. And the prophet Isaiah was sent from God to tell him God was intervening. He said, Hezekiah, you're not going to die. Do you know if it's God's will, if somebody prayed, they can be healed and even years can be added to their life? Is that okay? Now, it's all up to God. He's the one in control. And we can't go around ordering God, but we can ask God and we can have faith for Him to add something to our life. He had a deep and strong faith. And when you read some of his prayers and some of his statements, he believed that God ruled in the heavens and in the earth. He also believed that God was near. No wonder God had the prophet write a prophetic writing about him and his experience. He did have failures. And this prophecy didn't particularly deal with those, but dealt with his sincerity, his prayer life. And these descriptions in Isaiah 11 that you read about in the next few verses after verse 1 are descriptions that were lived out in the life of Hezekiah. If he said it about Hezekiah and it came to pass, what he says about you and the prophecies here that can be applied to you and I, they are also going to come to pass. The word of God for your life is going to come to pass in your life. Do not ever doubt it. This prophecy, of course, was a messianic prophecy of the coming anointed Messiah. And there's another one like this one in Isaiah 9. It's more familiar unto us. The child is born, son is given. Both of them came to pass to every detail. Here he's prophesying, and Isaiah was writing, by the way, almost 700 years, or a little over 700 years, before Jesus Christ was ever born, and he pegged it. He hit it. Wasn't accidental. The Holy Ghost moved on him. The Spirit spoke to the man of God. The Spirit still speaks to women and men of God. Not only those who do what I'm doing today, who preach and fill a pulpit at certain places and times, but He speaks to everyone who will allow His Spirit to reside upon you. And so he talks about his genealogy, about who and what family line the Messiah would come from. I'm going to tell you, it's fabulous. Just think about this. Here's a man, just a simple man, Isaiah. And God speaks to him and he says, I'm going to tell you, I'm not only going to prophesy about the Messiah, I'm going to tell you what family he's coming from. You know, all of us, we kind of enjoy, to some extent, figuring out who we know who Jesus Christ is. We try to figure out who the Antichrist is. That's probably not such a great idea. But I doubt we're going to figure it out unless God speaks it to us. And it's more important to know who Jesus Christ is than who the Antichrist is. I've seen some folks so wrapped up in figuring out who the Antichrist is, I'm saying, just figure out who Jesus is. That'll be a good start. And so he uses this terminology. He talks about a rod from the stem of Jesse. Notice how small, just a little rod or piece of a stick and a stem, and there's going to be a branch come from his roots. The word that Isaiah uses, when you study it out in the original language, that word for branch, is the same word that is used for the name of the city Jesus grew up in, Nazareth. It's the very same. He not only told what family he was coming from, but prophetically, he just kind of subtly worked it in. He said, and I know where he's going to grow up. I have trouble figuring out where I am sometimes, let alone knowing where somebody's going to be 700 years off in the future. But I'm going to tell you, the Holy Ghost can speak if it's 10 days before. If it's 10 years before, whoo. If it's 7 days before, if it's 7 years before, God, that power, that pinpoint accuracy of the Spirit and the Word. There are a lot of other words, by the way, that he could have used for the term branch, but he chose that one on purpose. So that maybe part of the reason was so I could get a thrill as I was studying to say, there you go again, God. Perfection. Look, if he's got all that figured out, he's got the details of your life figured out. He knew where we were going to be born. He knew what was in the future. I read this little article the other day. Don't feel sorry. Don't feel sorry for or fear for your kids, because the world they're going to grow up in is not what it used to be. God created them and called them for this exact moment in time. Their life was not a coincidence or an accident. Hear it, parents. Raise them up to know the power they walk in as the children of God. Our little kids can know if I pray for mom or dad or anybody else, if I pray for them in the name of Jesus, or if I worship the Lord in song, it doesn't matter if it's at church, it doesn't matter if it's in the home, it doesn't matter if it's in the backyard or in the playground, the presence of God is going to be there. They can know the power that they walk in as the children of God. Parents, train them up in the authority of his word. Babe, would you come here? Amber, where are you? Come here just a minute. Dad, would you mind coming here just a minute? Teach them to walk in faith. Teach your kids to walk in faith, saying, God's in control. There's a fear factor plaguing our world. It's plaguing parents and grandparents. It's plaguing children and grandchildren. And it doesn't matter what age they are. Y'all come up and stand by me if you would. I thank God for the family that the Lord granted. Talk about Nazareth. God knew I was going to be born in St. Anthony's Hospital. There was, I don't know, I've not been down there so long. They did tear it down, built a national food store on that corner. I wasn't built in the fruit section either, or born in the fruit section. Hear me. God knew where you were going to be born. He knew when you were going to be born. He has excellent and perfect knowledge. He has empowered families, grandparents, and parents to watch out and look over your children, to teach them. Parents, hear me now. Those of you online, hear me right now. empower those children and grandchildren to know they can change the world. I know you may be saying amen in your heart, but I feel like we need something better than that. We need to empower our kids. They can change the world. I'm preaching about the Spirit that is residing upon us. Don't teach them. Watch what you talk about at home. Don't teach them fear or to be fearful and disheartened because of the state of the world. Maybe mom and dad or grandma and grandpa, you probably need to talk about it because there's some things that makes us raise our eyebrows and causes our heart to, I'm not saying everything's perfect out there in the world we're living in right now and the way we've come into 2021, there's some things that can raise our antenna and it could cause us to fear. Except that we trust in the word of the Lord, the pinpoint accuracy and the pinpoint power of the word of God. Every person in all of history has been placed in the time that they were in because of God's sovereign plan. God knew that I would be born in 1953 to Everett and Betty Williford. And Dad, I am so thankful for your faith and your faithfulness. You knew. You didn't know what I would be. You didn't know where I would go. You didn't know whether or not I would serve God. But you did know that you were going to do everything that you could do. I had to make my own choices as every person, every student, every young person does. But a parent can do everything that they can do to make sure that God's order and God's sovereign choice is there. Every person has been placed in the time. Dad, you were placed in the time God intended for you. I'm glad he planned it so you were my dad. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Students, we need to thank God for our parents. And not just students. But no matter how old we are, we're still somebody's kid. And we can give thanks, and sometimes we can't get to them to thank them because they're gone on right now. Thank them as much as you can before they leave. Thank them as much as you can. But then even after they've gone, you've probably said it to them scores of times. Thank you for your faithfulness. And I'm looking around this room and I'm almost getting distracted in a good way to think of the parents of elders that I see here today and adults that I see here today. I was privileged to know some of your parents. Don't be afraid to raise them in the fear of God. Here's what God knew. He knew Daniel could handle the lion's den. He knew Simon Peter could handle persecution in a jail. He knew Paul and Silas could handle a Philippian jail, a little damsel that spoke a word that got them in trouble. He knew that Esther could handle Haman. God knew all that. When you start reading through those stories, even those of us that know the rest of the story, we want to start saying, uh-oh, God, uh-oh, uh-oh. What happened here? What happened here? God knew. He knew you could handle what you're going through right now. Hear me, somebody. He knew you could handle the hour that we're living in. That's not going to be an excuse to backslide. The Spirit of God is residing upon us. He knows we can handle it. Don't be scared, afraid for your children, but be honored. Hear me, be honored that God chose you to parent the generation that we are in. Rise up, parents, hear me. Brother Brad preached it this morning in the message earlier about the importance of the home and the power and the blessing. And I've talked to many of you who experienced, especially while we were shut down, but before and after that, experience times of prayer, experience times of the blessing of the Lord. There can be, I'll go so far as to say, there should be times when the blessing of the Lord comes down and every inhabitant at that home has their hands lifted, maybe speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. It's His will, it's His will, it's His will. Let me say to adults and parents, we got to help one another serve God. Don't get in the way of the correction that a spouse may want to offer, a discipline that they might want to offer, a word from God that they may have. Don't be afraid. I speak to this congregation, and I mean this with all my heart. Raise Daniels. We are not out for notoriety. I'm not saying that, but somebody raise an Esther. I thank God. They may not have the cutest dress. Get them as cute as you can get them. They may not have the name brand. If you can do it, do it. I'm not preaching against it. I'm just preaching priorities here. She dressed Andrea and Amber and Elisa. I kind of hope they're watching right now. But she put those, the girls called them frilly dresses. Stick-out dresses. Amber remembers what they were called. She enjoyed wearing those, didn't you, Amber? But I tell you what else she dressed them in. Prayer. She told me this morning when we were praying as a family down here. Brad was talking about raising her family. She leaned over and said, "Babe, you know what I remember? I remember those days. We knelt before they went to school. We knelt by that couch. And we prayed. It wasn't very long. It wasn't very long. We just prayed. Asked and talked to God about them and their day. We had no idea, Amber, how God would use your life. And I'm going to take a little advantage of the pulpit, but I feel like this has to be for me. I need to express appreciation for my family, my dad, my wife. I'm going to tell you what, there's so much word in that house. Every room I go in where she is, there's a sermon going. Now, they're not mine. I'm trying to preach better. What sometimes she's in there. But they don't have to be from a certain source. They don't have to be from a certain person. The word that we need is a word from God. In that prayer time, in that word, and you convicted me, Brother Brad. And if you didn't get to hear the message, you may have, but if you didn't, it'd be worth a hearing. I want to encourage you to go back and hear about the head of the house. The Lord is the head of this house, and He wants to be the head of this temple. He wants to be the head of our family. But I thank God so much. Amber, I'm thinking right now, and I'm not going to finish this message. But God's going to finish it. But I remember when I was serving as youth president, we were in Springfield, Missouri, and you were just about this high, probably about 3 years old, and the service was at the conclusion, and I looked around, and there was Amber in one of those stick-out dresses, standing up there by me, just being so good like she is today, not running around all over the church taking pictures. I love looking at those pictures, by the way. And she was just standing there. I don't remember even the conversation we have, but it was several years later. I felt like the Lord just kind of informed me what that was about. I know she loved her dad, but I think it was more about the things of God, wanting to be as close as she could be. There were other ministers, and some of our elders were on that platform. I feel like it was just something in that little heart. You may not even know what it was, Amber, but something in there saying, I want this. You parents that have children, and you parents that do not yet, but you will someday, don't fear. I'm going to tell you, there were days, and this lady did the major job of how these girls turned out. I probably spent too much time at this office. Not this one, but the other one. I can't go back and get that right now. And I'm going to tell you, there's an impact, and I thank God. Don't be afraid. Raise an Esther, somebody. And if your kids want to sing, and or they want to speak in tongues, or dress holy, dress them holy. Start young. Be careful how you dress them when they're 3 and 4 years old. You look up here on the platform, and you see our ladies and their godliness. Start those little girls like that. Start those young boys like that. You will not be sorry. I know this is not the norm and what society accepts and even what church society accepts. I know it's not, but the Spirit is resting upon us. And with His pinpoint accuracy, He has designed and He has, you are not a mistake. Your birth and any spiritual birth or experience that you are having, it is not a mistake. Somebody may have tried to tell you that it's an emotional experience that you are experiencing, but it is not. It's the fact of what Isaiah wrote about right here in this prophecy. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon you. And I just want to say to you, Amber, to you, Elisa, to you, Andrea, if you're watching, I thank God as a dad. I know they're not perfect. I know. But I want to thank God for the effort that you make to serve and please God. And all you could do is that little 3-year-old girl stand on a platform. Now you can make your own choice. You don't have to be on a platform. You don't even have to be anywhere near the house of God. You can be running with your back toward God, your face away from Him. But you're making a choice. You're making a choice. I didn't know who or what we were raising when it comes to usefulness in the kingdom of God. And I probably would not have done anything different, only that I would need to have been a better dad and do more spiritual things for them. It's not about planning out, this one's going to be Simon Peter, this one's going to be the Apostle Paul. It's not about that. It's about saying, here they are, God. I'm dedicating them to you, and however you want to use them, and I'm not going to try to pick and place them, you go ahead. And if they're supposed to be in Nazareth, you know exactly where they're supposed to be. You know every detail. God knows every detail about every family member and every one of us. His Spirit is residing upon us. Oh, would you thank Him right now for His Spirit? I want you to plug in and enter in right now. Would you pray? There's a connection. There's a holy connection that's happening here. God wants to do a work right here. Would you pray? Follow the Holy Ghost, church. Follow the Holy Ghost. Yes. I feel like we need to pray for one another here. We're going to be praying here in the next few moments. We need to pray for one another. Follow the Holy Ghost. Don't let fear steal the greatness God has placed in you or your kids. Now, we got to be aware of the times, and we got to know what's happening. And maybe things didn't fall out like we would have wished them to in the last several months. COVID, election, all of that. But God's still in control. God is still in control. I'm not listening for a verbal response, but I want a verbal, I want it to express what we, and don't lie. If you don't think he is, don't say it. But if you believe he is, God is still in control. He is still in control. And he has ordered our steps. The steps of the good person are ordered by the Lord. Don't let fear. Don't let carnality. Don't let popular opinion. Don't let what other parents or other family members or other grandparents and other kids are doing. Don't let that steal the greatness. There's some stuff we need to take out of our kids' rooms. There's some movies we need to click off of. There's some Netflix and Prime Video we need to stop. I'm working on a little Bible study. I'm going to just study out some of these sitcoms that's so popular and get their themes and just make a list. Compare them with the Word of God. We could say all we want to. It don't make a bunch of difference. It does make difference. It does make a difference. We need our family saturated by the Word and the Spirit of God. Oh, yeah. Oh, I know. I feel the tension right now. It's too straight-laced. It doesn't have to be that way. That's all right. You are welcome to your opinion, but really it's not all right. Because God, with his pinpoint accuracy, has destined that you would be touched and directed by his Spirit and his faithfulness. I'm going to tell you, this is a remaining spirit. That verse, Brother Eric, would you mind putting it back up there? I've lost it here in my scripture, but verse 2, there you go. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest. That means it's going to happen, shall. And it means that word rest means to settle down upon and remain or abide. I've got some scriptures here. But I'm just going to encourage you to do your own study where it talks about how God abides or Jesus abides or the Word abides. This is his intention. And I'm going to tell you, this Holy Ghost promise, if you want to be filled with it, we got three precious folks going to be baptized here in just a few moments. So, hallelujah. Mike and Gloria, their son is going to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, once God washes away sins like he's about to, they're forever washed away. And when you get the Holy Ghost, what you've got is good. It'll last. Now, I know we talk about refilling and it's good and refreshings and we want that and we need that. And that's what keeps us. But my wife in prayer meeting a couple of years ago went around the room and asked about how long folks had had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Sister Hudson, as of this date, has it 84 years. Woo. Dad just yesterday had his spiritual birthday, the 6th of February, 1949, 72 years. I'm going to tell you, that's a remaining spirit. Sister Carol Kessler, she's back there, 70 years. Sister Mahiran, 70 years. Woo, look at all these folks still here. Brother Mahiran went on to be with the Lord, but he was in that meeting 66 years as of this date. Sister Fenimore, 62. Brother Kessler, 60. Sister Olivia Johnson, 58 years. She got it when she was 1 year old. No, just kidding. Brother Smith, 52 years. Now we get down to the babies. John Sykes, 31 years. That's pretty good when you're a baby and you're a 30-year-old mature Christian. Brother Fred Bradley, you are the baby of the group, Brother Fred. 26 years as of today. I'm going to tell you, that's the kind of babies I want. Spiritually mature men who just walked through a great trial. But here he is on a Sunday morning. Oh, this church loves you, Brother Fred. And you've been faithful. And God's mercy is what did it. Stand with me if you would, please. It's abiding. I couldn't help it. I was trying to find a calculator. I couldn't find one, so I just did it myself. I think I'm right. Somebody will know. Probably Dad. He probably added it all up in his brain. He still got that accounting thing in his brain. You know how many of those years were? 680 years. Woo. That's almost 700. Oh, my. 600 years of abiding presence of God. Now, used to, they lived that long. We don't live that long anymore. Man, I'm trying to get out of bed at 68 years old. 680 years old. But hear me now. 680 years combined. Faithful. God was faithful. And if we let some of these elders testify, they could spin our heads with some of the wonderful stories of the abiding presence of God. I added those years up and I listed this list to just let you know. He intends to rest upon you. And if the Lord tarries, I may not know you. I may not see you when you're 60 or 65 or 85, but the Lord will see you. And the Lord will be faithful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The resting. The resting. The abiding, and everything you read in this chapter. I didn't get to the rest of the verses, and I won't try to go there now, but you just read them. You just look at those abilities there. Wisdom and counsel, might, knowledge, fear of the Lord. All of that is yours and mine. If you're willing to accept it, I want you to just lift your hands in acceptance. God, I accept whatever your spirit wants to do and whatever you want to gift me with and whatever ability you want to put, Lord. I want your spirit to be fully active. I want your spirit to be fully active, oh Lord. Oh God, I want your spirit to be fully in freedom in my life. Oh God. Just with your heads bowed, I just want to talk to you for just a moment here. Hear me, this is going to be some important instruction right here. Don't balk at what the Spirit prompts you. We're good at coming up with excuses in our humanity. Moses did it. God had to get pretty straightforward with Moses. But I just want to offer to you today, I highly recommend, do not balk at whatever the Holy Ghost, I'm going to tell you. I had at least two different people speak a word to me this week. One by text and one just asked to see me for a few moments in the office. And I humbly told them, I receive it. I receive it. I receive it. Don't balk at what the Holy Ghost. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you what one of them said. And they were so respectful. They said, Pastor, you need to pray more. Now something could rise up in us and say, what in the world? Who are you? And they said, I'm not saying you're not praying. What they were meaning, there needs to be, they weren't necessarily talking about moments on the clock, although that wouldn't hurt. They were talking about another dimension, prayer. In fact, God is talking to dads right now. And what that person said to me, the Lord is saying to you, you need to pray more. You need to pray. You need to pray more. And that may mean quantity or quality, whatever it means. But God has a prophetic purpose, a pinpoint accuracy for you and those that you are responsible to and for. Hallelujah. We've already expressed our willingness to the Lord. Oh, if you can get with your family, I'm going to ask you to do that, and that's your bubble. And you can pray with and for them right now. That God, His Spirit. We've got a responsibility. We can do some things. We can do some stuff. But we can't do it all. We need the help of God. We need the help of God. Would you begin to pray right now? And don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed to pray in front of your husband or your wife or your spouse. Don't be afraid to pray in front of your kids. Yes. Or in front of your parents. Go ahead, students. Ah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We need it, God. We need your covering. We need that Spirit to rest upon us. We need that abiding, God. I'm so thankful that you're not a come and go. Oh, I'm so thankful that your blessings are not transient. Yes, life is come and go, and sometimes it's good, and sometimes it's struggle. Sometimes it's battle and sometimes it's victory. But in the battle or in the victory, you're still the same. Whether we feel defeated or whether we rejoice in victory, you're the same, God. Yes. Oh, overcome us, Lord. Online, pray. This church is praying. You just join right in. You join right in. Yeah. Your family. He loves you. You're special. He does. He does. He does. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Your glory is what our hearts long I have sounded my voice through message and tongue as a signal and a sign that I want to sound my voice in your life daily. No, it may not come through the operation of a gift, but nonetheless, however it comes, through my word as you read, as you allow me to speak, as you are listening in your prayer time, it is the same voice speaking to you. It's a signal. And I am saying today that I am willing to speak to you. I deeply desire to speak and talk with you so that I can express my love, so that I can give you the guidance, so that I can provide to you the peace that you need and the stability that you will need as you make decisions that will be life-changing and life-altering for your family, saith the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's thank him. I thank you for your voice, God. I thank you for your voice just now, and I thank you for what you meant by that voice. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to instruct you today. Think about this message in tongues. And I'm talking about just the fact that it happened. Think about it this week. My wife, she records these normally, so if you wanted to rehear it or read it again, you probably could, but that's not really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just think about the fact that he spoke and he said that my speaking today, this message in tongues, was not only the message for today, but it was a message to remind us that of how he wants to sound his voice and speak to us in our lives. It could be, but it most likely, I will say, will not be an audible voice. But God doesn't have to use that. He can use his word. He can use your thought impressions. He can use any value or venue that he desires to use. This is a beautiful picture.
This is the McDonald family, and they have, you've seen them around. They've come to some services here at the church, and then they also attend our Tuesday night Celebrate Recovery with the Dales here. And we had a Connect class this last month. We had four classes for some of our new members. And that class, baptism was discussed. And after that class, they asked how they would go about being baptized. And so Jeff talked with them a little bit about that. We talked a little this morning about that. And I think it's a beautiful thing that this entire family is getting ready to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is Gloria. And she is excited about being, she said she's a little nervous, but I told her she didn't have to be nervous. We're all excited with her. And we discussed a little bit about steps that they're taking. And this is just another step towards God. And I thank God for that. Would you stand with me? Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you, God, for this opportunity to be baptized in your name and our sins being remitted. Thank you, God, that they've made the choice to do this. We love you and we thank you. Of your faith. Now I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Gloria. Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in her life. Thank you, God, for your spirit, for your power. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
We're so thankful and grateful for you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
This is Weston. Weston, he's excited. He's excited about it. He told me he's been practicing this week about being baptized. Been practicing, so he's ready to go. And he asked me if I wouldn't hold him under too long, if I'd do it pretty quick. So I'm going to do that. All right, buddy? I'm thankful that this young man's made the decision to be baptized in the name of Jesus and have all of his sins washed away. According to his faith, Lord, we thank you for his life and for this decision that he's made. And according to the obedience of your word, now we baptize Weston in Jesus' name.
Down and done.
This is Mike. I asked him if he'd like to be called Mike or Michael. He said either one. I said, well, I know how that goes. I get called Mike and Michael as well. And I'm thankful for this man and for the steps that he's taken to draw nearer to the Lord. Yesterday was his birthday. He celebrated. And today there's going to be another birthday that he's going to be celebrating. Amen. And God's doing great things in this family. I thank you, Lord, for the decision that he's made today to be baptized in Jesus' name. Now, according to your word, we're going to do that. Baptize him in the name of Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord together. This is worth celebrating. An entire family, their sins washed away by the power of the name of Jesus. We praise you. Oh, we've got reason to celebrate and to worship today. Thank you for what you've done in Mike's life. Thank you for what you've done in Gloria's life and Weston's life. We glorify you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So thankful, and we fully believe that God's Spirit is going to rest on their lives as well. We're believing and praying, and so thankful for the power of the Holy Ghost that's here today, for yielding to it. And I believe Mike and Gloria and Weston, that's just the beginning. That is just the beginning of their journey. God's going to continue to help them. So thankful for what God has done in the house.